Radio Prague News.
The leadership of ANO has now officially backed the policy program and coalition deal with the Social Democrats. Jindřich Vobotil is stepping down as the head of the National Anti-Drug Agency, and singer Karel Gott is to release a new studio album. The leadership of ANO on Friday officially backed the policy program and coalition deal reached with the Social Democrats on a planned minority government. The Social Democrat top executive is expected to do the same. The latter is also holding an inter-party referendum on whether it should join the coalition. The details of both the program and coalition deal were agreed upon by negotiators earlier this week and are due to be published. On Saturday, the documents will also be assessed by the Communist Party, whose backing will be required by the new government in a coalition vote and on key legislation, as the coalition lacks a majority in the 200-member lower house. Jindřich Vobořil is stepping down as head of the National Anti-Drug Agency after 8 years on the job, Czech daily Mladá fronta Dnes reported on Friday. According to the newspaper, Vobořil will leave the post at the end of July. The paper reported he had cited personal reasons for leaving, including his family and having to commute regularly to the capital from Brno. Before he steps down, he is due to present the Bureau's strategy in the fight against addiction for the next nine-year block. Prime Minister in resignation Andrej Babiš confirmed the decision was strictly the official's own. In other news, Czech police say they have shelved an investigation into a hacking attack on the website of the National Statistical Office as it updated results from parliamentary elections last October. The attack caused the website of the Czech Statistical Office to collapse. The office said the results of counting for elections to the lower house of parliament were not affected. Police, according to the news website of Czech Radio, were not able to identify where the attack had originated. The office said that it had stepped up its security measures following the incident. In culture, famous Czech singer Karel Gott will release a new studio album at the start of June, his first new album since he overcame serious health problems in 2016. At the time, the singer was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin lymphoma, but later made a full recovery after undergoing chemotherapy and other treatment. The record, named Ta Prava, will be a mix of both domestic and international pop classics, including material by famous country singer Garth Brooks. When he was diagnosed and undergoing treatment, Mr. Gott said that he had put his musical career on hold indefinitely, making the return now, quote, all the happier. I'm Jan Wellinger. You can find more news at radio.cz.
Hello, this is Radio Prague with me, Ian Willoughby. Today, Czech says the Temelín nuclear reactor could operate for 60 years or more, a claim that may raise hackles abroad. Comics and Israeli writers are in the spotlight at Prague's biggest book event. And later we meet the people providing online ratings of kebab shops in the Czech Republic and further afield. All that's coming up in today's program. Czech power giant ČEZ says there's no reason why its Temelín nuclear reactor can't operate for 60 years or more. That's one way to deal with the problems being faced building new nuclear reactors. However, this approach is likely to raise hackles in some neighbouring countries, as Chris Johnstone reports.
ČEZ publicised its study, saying there are no fundamental safety or technical obstacles to the country's biggest single power plant operating for 60 years. Deputy Board Chairman and Finance Director Martin Novak commented on the findings.
We have also undergone a technical and economic study of long-term operations of Temelín nuclear power plant past 2060. The study confirmed that actually it is technically feasible to operate our power plant until 2062.
In fact, the study specifically gave the all-clear for the first unit operating until 2060 and the younger second unit continuing 2 years after that. And it added Thursday that there are no reasons why the units can't keep producing power even longer. The study comes against the backdrop of a real breakthrough still being sought on whether the Czech Republic will build a new generation of reactors at its existing Temelín and Dukovany sites. Experts appointed by the Ministry of Industry and Trade should recommend the best options to push ahead with those plans, including how to finance the hundreds of billions of crowns needed next week. A previous tender to double the size of Temelín with two new reactors was scrapped in 2014 when the Czech government refused to guarantee the financial underpinning for the massive project. And there are now warnings that the government target to get new reactors in place by 2035 is in danger of not being realised because of delays taking key decisions. That danger was one of the issues under the spotlight in the Czech capital on Friday during a conference organised by the Czech Senate into how far the country's plans to safeguard and develop domestic nuclear know-how and capacity are being met. Making existing reactors operate much longer than their planned operating span is one way to address what some forecasts see as a looming power crisis in the Czech Republic and Central Europe, as many coal-fired plants are forced to close. But that puts Prague on a possible collision course with anti-nuclear neighbour Austria and a growing number of EU countries which have or are turning away from nuclear power and seeking tough tests for extending the life of existing plants. Temelín, around 40 kilometres from Austria, is a sensitive subject in the country, especially after the reactor faced a series of significant problems during its first years of operation. Earlier this year, the head of the Czech nuclear watchdog, the State Office for Nuclear Safety, warned of exactly this scenario of growing opposition to nuclear power plant operational extensions. Dana Drábová cautioned that whatever the technical and safety merits of the ageing Czech nuclear plants, local politicians would likely face an EU battle to extend their operating lifetime.
And that report was by Chris Johnstone. The annual international book fair and literary festival Book World Prague got underway on Thursday at the city's Výstaviště grounds, featuring over 400 exhibitors from 22 countries. Radovan Auer, the head of Book World Prague, spoke to Ruth Frankova about this year's main topics, comics and the revolutionary 20th century.
Concerning the comics, we prepared a special comic zone which consists of many exhibitions and also two halls where we have program. We tried to generally show the actual comic scene in Czech Republic, but we have also some international names such as Reinhard Kleist or Katin Arhi from Finland. Reinhard Kleist will be this afternoon drawing live with a live band because he made comics about Nick Cave. So the live band will play Nick Cave and he will be drawing. And we are also celebrating 80 years of Rychlé šípy, which is one of the Czech comic legends. Concerning the groundbreaking 20th century, we organize mainly big debates, which are not only about literature, but more about, let's say, social and political context of the whole 20th century. We will have people on the stages like Jacques Rupnik, Michal Žantovský, the econom Tomáš Sedláček, and many others.
The guest of honor at this year's event is Israel. Who are among the biggest Israeli stars coming?
Yeah, we brought five Israeli authors. We tried to have like the legends and also the upcoming stars. Concerning the legends, we will welcome today David Grossman, who is the actual winner of International Man Booker Prize with his book Horse Walks Into the Bar. And among this, let's say, upcoming authors, we have Asaf Gavron and Hadal Galeron. Concerning the legends, let's mention also Abe Yehoshua. We will have also the thriller writer Dror Mishani.
What are among the other highlights at this year's edition of Book World Prague? What are you personally looking forward to?
Let's say two different topics. One is the professional forum. We have a 4 days program which is dedicated to authors, to publishers, to translators. And for the young generation, we prepare so-called the home book stage because reading of children and young people is very important for us. So we prepared special program for the whole Saturday dedicated to young adult literature, which will be outside of the pavilions with a special tent, and it should be kind of, let's say, teenage stuff.
And that was Radovan Auer of Book World Prague, and he was speaking to my colleague Ruth Frankova. Now, Dominic Yoon meets the people providing online ratings of kebab shops in the Czech Republic and further afield in this report.
Kebabani.cz is a website whose sole purpose is to review kebabs and gyros from mainly across Prague, but also across the Czech Republic and even beyond to places like Germany and London. Kebabs have become something of a phenomenon in the Czech Republic as an ideal form of fast food. You see them on every street corner. The people behind this website, three reviewers who go by usernames Emperor, Grillis and Ralph, have agreed to meet me at a particular kebab place on Jechna Street in Prague called Canbay, which they have rated particularly highly. So I'm going to meet with them and join them for a kebab and discuss what makes a good kebab and what makes a bad kebab and the general kebab eating experience in the Czech Republic. Yeah. So if exactly. I may ask, who's who here?
Petr and Emperor.
Petr, Emperor.
I am Pavel Grills.
And I am Jan Ralf.
Jan Ralf to my right. So we've all ordered pretty much something different.
Kebab maxi, spicy.
So I've ordered a veal kebab. The obvious question is you've asked me not to identify you.
Yes.
Presumably that has something to do with the fact that you write reviews, right? So tell me why you prefer to remain anonymous.
Yeah, so sometimes when the review is not as positive as the owner of the place wanted, we think it might be a little bit dangerous because kebab places, especially in North Bohemia, they're often owned by some shady guys, let's say. But also we think it's better because when we go and we do the review, nobody knows it's us, so they don't give us some perfect kebab.
And we can be objective. This is the important thing.
Right, And your website, is it a labor of love? Is it just something you do on the side? You don't make any money from it or anything like that, right?
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just a fun project, you know.
How many kebab places have you been to? How many kebabs have you tried?
I think right now, for 1 year, it's about 60 or 70 places. Yeah.
60 or 70 places. And that's mainly in Prague, right? Or across the whole Czech Republic? And also, I noticed Germany and London you visited.
Yeah,
well.
Exactly. But most of them are from Prague. I'm not sure. 30, for example, it could be. Yeah.
If you had to give an average score, say 1 out of 10, average to the Czech Republic kebab experience, what number would you give it?
I would give it, let's say, 7.
That's quite high.
9 being Germany or maybe Turkey. Mm.
Right.
Mm. You can never get a perfect score because in every state there's a bad kebab, obviously. But I think our standard is quite high. Compared to Germany, it's maybe a little bit worse, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but still, it's quite high. When you compare it to Netherlands or England, I think it's not as good as in Czech Republic.
In London it was good, actually, but of course I was just in 2 or 3 kebab, and so...
Okay, so what we're going to do now is take a break and eat, because otherwise our food's going to get cold. So I'm going to tuck into my veal kebab, which looks very nice. So when you come across a bad kebab in the Czech Republic, what kind of things go wrong? I mean, because obviously it's a big business here, so presumably lots of people are running stores with very little skills or talent or something. So what makes for a bad kebab and a good kebab?
Yeah, that's true. We think that, for example, just in Prague is maybe, I don't know, 80 kebabs. And what's wrong? Many things, I think, it could be wrong.
Soft bread.
When the bread is not crispy, exactly.
Or the vegetables when it's not fresh, when you see...
Yeah, when you see a little flies
when
over...
You see flies,
over the vegetables, it's not good.
But I
think the most important thing is the meat.
When the meat
does not come from the grill, straight from the grill, and then it comes from pot, which is hidden somewhere under the table.
Right.
It's always bad, always.
So what I'm eating here is the sort of the doner kebab, which is the blended meat, and you're eating durum, which is, that's like proper chunks of meat that's like heated on the grill, right? And then it's scraped off the classic way, right? What's the most popular in the Czech Republic?
Good question.
Hard question.
I think it's for everyone it's different.
Mm-hmm.
For someone it's a good durum, for someone it's dinner, and for someone it's, I don't know, it's a pizza kebab, for example, what we eat today. For me, for example, is the durum is the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone who wants to, I don't know, taste every part of the kebab, like I want to taste just the vegetables, for example. So, of course, dinner is better.
Okay, let me ask you about yourselves. I would guess you're all professionals, possibly even what's known as white-collar workers, roughly in your 30s, right? So you all presumably work in larger companies, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And I read one of your descriptions was that one of you wanted to be a kebab maker, but that was just a dream that wasn't realized. So instead you eat kebabs and you write reviews about them, right?
Yeah.
So how come you all share this passion?
I think it all started. We all have been studying abroad.
Mm-hmm.
In Germany and in Turkey, and when you're eating kebab, it's maybe the only thing you can eat there when you are a student, because it's cheap and it's good. You know, it's the perfect ratio.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we found our love to kebab there, and now, yeah, of course, we are like white collars and working with our shirts and ties, but the love for kebab remained.
The reason why we started with this project, it was our friend that they want to recommend, for example, where to go and what to order, this thing. So.
Okay, let me ask you a difficult question. Not that I want to generalize, but if Czechs are becoming big fans of kebabs and Middle Eastern food, and yet many headlines show that, you know, Eastern Europeans and Czechs are afraid of, you know, Muslims, migrants and all these kinds of things. So how do you, is that slightly hypocrisy, or do you think that kebabs are opening a cultural avenue for potential friendship? How would you describe the Czechs, on the one hand, love of kebabs, but on the other, a sort of public fear over Islam?
I would say that the fear of Islam, or maybe, you know, the hateful comments or stuff like that, it's only comments. When it comes to real world, Czech people like kebab. And they don't give up on eating kebab just because Muslims made it.
And I think, for example, just the media do that. They are really big afraid of Czech people. They are racist. And I think it's not true. I think most of the people just like kebabs. And they don't care, actually. And they don't mix it, for example, the migration crisis and the kebabs. I think it's different things.
Compared to the West, there aren't that many foreign faces in Czech Republic, former communist bloc countries. So what kind of nationalities make kebabs here?
There are many nationalities, I think. Most of them are Turkish, yeah. I think. But, of course, some part are from the former Eastern Bloc, like, I don't know, Russia or, I don't know, Uzbekistan and this part of the world. Or Armenia, for example. Yeah, that's true. Or Ukraine.
And Cambay, where we are here today, they're Turkish?
Yeah. Well, I think the place itself is owned by Turkish people, but when you look behind the counter, it's mostly Ukrainian.
Mm-hmm.
But the people who take care of the meat are Turkish.
So how many kebab outlets would you guess are in across the entire Czech Republic?
In the whole Czech Republic? We talk about it and we think that it's circa 500 or 600, I think, in the whole Czech Republic, because we think that right now it's in every small cities and really everywhere.
And what kind of feedback do you get from visitors to your site, and also from the restaurants themselves, or from kebabs? Let's say you review someone badly. Have you ever had someone say, "Sorry, I'll try and do better"?
Well, we get a lot of feedback from readers.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them write us back that they want us to review some of the places we haven't been to,
mm-hmm.
you know, their favorite place, stuff like that. Concerning the feedback from the owners of the places, when it's a bad review, sometimes they write, okay, come again, why is the review so bad, stuff like that. But when it's good, they share it on their Facebook, mm-hmm. they're happy about it. They generally like the fact that we made the review, they're becoming fan of our page on Facebook, so I think they appreciate it.
And how many readers do you have? How many hits and things like that? Yeah,
I think every month we have, I don't know, 5,000, for example, 5,000 readers. Yeah, it's pretty good.
You don't have a sponsorship or anything like that?
No, we don't have any sponsorship. We just go to buy kebab and we eat it, and we just write a review.
So tell me how you actually go about rating the kebab experience, because you use a number of criteria, right, like vegetables and service. Tell me about that.
Actually, we put some work into it, and it's good, because we have criteria like interior or cleanliness,
mm-hmm.
then we have service, and there are 5 criteria only about the taste of the kebab, you know, vegetables,
what's
meat.
Most important, of course, like meat and bread, vegetables and
dressing.
Dressing.
Right. And can readers also contribute?
Yeah, of course. There is one part which is for us, then the readers can do the same thing.
So they can actually press buttons that rate things from 1 to 10?
Yes, exactly.
So we have there like the 7 criteria, and then there's one criterion, only one, for the readers to put the grade. You know, we have our grade consists out of 7 criteria,
right.
Their grade
is just one.
It's just
overall
one.
Overall experience.
Yeah, from 1 to 10.
Right, from 1 to 10. Mm-hmm.
So, with a full stomach, my thanks to the three reviewers behind kebabarne.cz.
And that report by Dominic Yoon was first broadcast in March last year. Now, in the final part of our program today, here's the latest song in our series, Hit of the Century.
Hit of the Century.
The melody and lyrics of the 2007 hit Toha, or Desire, were written for the film Kvaska by Daniel Landa. The movie, a musical, was written and directed by his wife, Miriam Landa, and it was later adapted into a stage musical. Daniel Landa has also enjoyed some international success with another musical, Krisash, a take on the Pied Piper story. As well as doing music, Landa is also an occasional actor, scriptwriter, martial arts fighter, and racing driver.
Je to jak nic, to totiž neváží víc. Je to něco jak dech, jak přání na křílech. Je to nemožnej cíl, který si vymyslil. Je to jak sen, co ráno rozpustil den. Nic není dost velký cíl, aby ses nepokusil. Volej k nebi přání a všechno bude k mání. Touha je zázrak, kámo, zázrak. Touha je zázrak, kámo, zázrak. Jak žár, pořádně velikej dar. Je to jak letící drak, naprosto přesnej prak. Je to hukot moře, je to pramen v hoře. Touha je žít, zůstat a neodejít. Touha je padnout a vstát a rány nevnímat. Je to tlukot srdce, je to poklad v ruce. Je to jak hřbit, jako sluneční svět, úžasná měsíční zář. Je to jak boží tvář, je to skrytá síla, je to zlatá žíla. Touha je zázrak, takže přej si, co chceš, probouzej sílu, s ní už neklopítneš. Touha jsou čáry, hlouby duše je máš. Touha je zázrak, kámo, zázrak. Vždyť už to znáš. Touha je chrám, kde mají všechno a ne, pak je tam pání. I ten pitomej svět. Touha je brána, je všemu, o čem si sněl. Touha je cesta i cíl. Touha je zázrak, kámo, zázrak.
And next week we'll have more songs for you in our series Hit of the Century. But for now, that's all we have time for, folks, on Radio Prague. From me, Ian Willoughby, thank you very much indeed for listening, and goodbye.